My name is Jason Krieger, and I'm the youth pastor here at Central Christian Church. And it's an honor to be here with all of you to present this topic that we're going to be discussing today, to shepherding you all through this. So I don't know what you did wrong, but when the topic of technology and social media came up, they were like, hey, send in the youth pastor. They're like, I don't know if we can make this clear enough. Send in the guy that works with our kids. They told me they gave me 2 hours, and so I'm going to do my best to kind of walk you guys through this. 3 hours? I appreciate that. It might take longer than that. Okay, but I'm really excited to be here. This has been on my plate for over 2 weeks, and so I feel like God's just been letting me have it for 2 weeks through this text, and now I'm going to let you have it. So... and I just pray that God would use this for his glory. All right, again, our sermon today is on technology and social media. As a church, we have been walking through a sermon series that has been looking at worldly topics and issues, and then looking at what God's word wisely says about them to us, his people, how we should live as his people. In Proverbs 9, God's wisdom, his virtuous life for all people, is personified as a noble woman, Lady Wisdom. She calls to us to leave our simple ways and follow her. She leads us to a life of flourishing, a life of virtue. But later on in chapter 9, we see that there's a lady who copies wisdom. Lady Folly. And her way leads to a life of vice, distress, and ultimately it leads to a life of death. And just saying that, looking at Proverbs 9, I can't help but think about David Mann's sermon last week. Heaven, hell. Two paths. One of God's wisdom and grace for us, one that we say, hey, I've got this. I'll take care of it. I can't help but think of David Mann's a sermon when I was preparing this. It was like, hey, there's two ways, and here's wisdom, here's folly, and God graciously comes to us. He makes the way of wisdom for us if we would just submit everything to him and follow him. You and I were created to worship, to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Jesus said it best, Matthew 5:8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. St. Augustine said, you have made us for yourself, and our heart is restless until it finds rest in you. To be human, created male and female, in his image is to worship. Worship comes from the heart, and our hearts are broken. We are sinners. We are far too easily pleased. We treasure far too much of what the world around us values. Our text today is out of James 4, verses 1 through 10. If you turn there now in your Bibles. James was written to the early Christian church on their need to resist the pressure to compromise their faith with the values of the world. The church was being persecuted, and James is pressing the church to wisely live their faith out, to ask God for wisdom, to control their tongues, to endure, to remain steadfast. Why? Because the crown of life is at stake. It is for those who love him, James 1:12 tells us. Remember again the sermon on heaven and hell. They are real, eternal places. Our lives matter. We have an eternal destiny. Are we compromising our faith with the values of the world? So today I'm going to be using a phrase, technology. You can think of it as personal technology, what you do. Technology. I need you to understand what I'm saying, what I'm communicating when I say that word, technology. And sometimes I'll say social media. You're welcome, parents. Right? I'm referring to the devices, screens, social media, and the apps that you and I use on a daily basis. I need you to think of these things when I say technology. Your TV, Netflix, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Facebook Messenger, TikTok, Snapchat, online video gaming, and there's a lot more. And as I've researched this, there's a lot more coming our way, and we need to be aware of what's coming. Augmented reality, virtual reality, these are other things that are coming. They're already kind of here, but they're coming more. We need to be aware, parents, grandparents, of what's coming our way. Again, I'll mostly refer to all of these things as technology. Again, I had 2 hours, so I'll do my best. I feel like my role today is to sound the alarm, though. Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. If I could have you walk away with one thing, especially moms and dads, it would be, are you keeping and protecting your heart? Are you protecting your family? I need you to listen. Not your spouse, not your children. I need you to listen to what's being said. Just like Proverbs, hear my son. I need you to listen to this. This is not for someone else, this is for you. This is a deceptive topic. This is a frustrating topic. This is something that we often blame on the youth. We need to hear that. This is something we often blame on the younger than us. This is our issue, church. And this is gonna frustrate you, a lot of you. I'm not gonna go far enough. A lot of you are gonna want more do's and don'ts. You're gonna want me to keep going like, hey, just tell me what to do. I've got a lot of things I can tell you what to do, but this is a heart issue. This is your issue. You need to know your heart. My struggle is different than yours. This is gonna be frustrating because I'm not gonna give you a lot of do's and don'ts. You can come talk to me at Info Central after the sermon if you're like, hey, can you give me a little bit more? I've read a lot, I have a stack of books, but what we need to hear is the word of God. The other reason why this is frustrating is because for some of you, it's like I'm punching you in the face. I'm waking you up to, you might have a problem. You might be doing something that you need to submit fully to God's control. Technology is a gift. It is. So much of what we can do at our fingertips is helpful, but it should be used wisely. We have, for far too long, viewed our technology as morally neutral. We need to think biblically about how we use technology and social media. Mac, if you would go ahead and come forward, prepare to read our word. Matthew 6:21, again, listen to Christ our King, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Let us begin by listening to God's truth in James 4 and discern, stand, and walk wisely together. Please stand.
James 4, 1 through 10. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly, to spend it on your passions. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the scripture says, he yearns jealously over the spirit that he has made to dwell on us, but he gives more grace. Therefore it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. The word of the Lord. You may be seated.
If you would, bow your heads and let's pray for our time together. First, I ask that you would pray for your heart, that you would listen. Second, I ask that you would pray for me. Ask that God Almighty would speak through me. Almighty God, gracious Father, thank you for this time. God, thank you for the preparation, the love of brothers and family to come around me and pray over me, walk with me. But God, I simply ask that your kingdom come, your will be done by what is taught here. Bring glory and honor to your name. Wake us up. Amen. What is happening in the church to where James has to call them out? Look at verse 4. You adulterous people. Apparently, they are quarreling and fighting with one another because their passions are at war within them. They are full of unrighteous desire. They murder. They covet. Some of them don't even pray. Did you see that in verse 2? They're all riled up, but they're not even praying. He's talking to the church. And then some, as if James is expecting, like, no, we pray. James is like, okay, yeah, you pray, but you just want it for yourself. They are pursuing friendship with the world and thus making God Almighty their enemy. The God who saved them, the God who rescued them. They're not that far removed from when Christ the King was resurrected. We should read this text and be warned. We should read it and be reminded of our sinful hearts, how they love the world and pursue after it. You and I constantly want, covet, gossip, and murder. Brothers and sisters, we too have pursued friendship with the world far too often. Church, our self-centered passions are at war within us, and I pray God would open our eyes to see how we are complicit in this adulterous act. James is rebuking the church for letting their sin get out of control and leading to friendship with the world. This friendship leads to an internal fight. It leads to an external fight as well, fighting with each other. Then they covet. Then they murder. They are self-centered. And then it leads to strife with the gracious God who created them and rescued them by his son, Jesus. Ultimately, this friendship leads to spiritual adultery against God. Is your heart pursuing friendship with the world? Consider that as I help us discern our use of technology and social media. Edward Tufte, out of a documentary on Netflix called Social Dilemma, he said this: there are only two industries that call their customers users, illegal drugs and software. Proverbs 17:24, the discerning sets his face toward wisdom, but the eyes of a fool are on the ends of the earth. In 2007, a lot of our lives were changed by the new and shiny rectangle called the smartphone. In 2010, that rectangle got bigger. The iPad was introduced. But in late 2010, there was an interesting interview with Nick Bilton from the New York Times, and he was interviewing Steve Jobs. This is fascinating. He told Nick Bilton, Steve Jobs, this is what he said. "We limit how much technology our kids use in the home," Jobs said. Chris Anderson, the former editor of Wired, enforced strict limits on every device in his home because we have seen the dangers of technology firsthand. His five children were never allowed to use screens in their bedrooms. Evan Williams, a co-founder of Blogger, Twitter, and Medium, bought hundreds of books for his two young sons, but refused to give them an iPad. I find this fascinating when men of the world are giving basically wisdom to us. You and I are living in unprecedented times. We have these amazing tools that allow us to call and connect with friends and family all over the world. We can conduct business almost anywhere. We can find directions. Ladies, that's a good thing. Now the guys don't have to stop and ask. Right? Google Maps, amen? That helps me. We can call for help almost anywhere. Take photos, send pictures of our vacations, FaceTime from the top of Mount Quandary, watch helpful how-to videos. We can learn a skill. We can learn to fix something. That's great. Save money. We can also listen to rap music. Parents, you're like, what? Or my personal favorite, Johnny Cash or Frank Sinatra. All of this can occur from our phones. It is. It's amazing technology. It's remarkable. Yet, it has also brought in dangerous consequences. Our self-centered passions and desires can be easily stirred, accessed instantly, and secretly searched for. This tool is not the problem. Our heart is. Our heart makes an idol out of good things, does it not? Idolatry. Idolatry is trusting in created things rather than the Creator for our hope and happiness, significance, and security. Here are some statistics to help us illuminate the idolatry in our culture and maybe in your heart. The average adult consumes 5 times more information every day than their counterpart 50 years ago. Smartphones take up 4 hours and 33 minutes a day of an adult's screen time. In 2012, only 23% of teens had a smartphone. In 2018, it was estimated 95% of teens had a smartphone. Some sources indicate that the average age children are exposed to porn is 11 years old. Some are saying as young as 8. According to a 2013 to 2015 study of high school seniors, they spent 6 hours a day with new media and social media. 6 hours. And in my research, what I've been reading is they're saying, hey, that number's higher. It's 7 to 8 hours a day for teens. Girls are constantly in search of likes and positive feedback with persistent pressure to post sexy and revealing photos. Boys by the age of 21 will have played 14,000 plus hours of video games. 14,000 plus hours of video games. It takes about 10,000 hours to be a master at something. They could have been over halfway there on two somethings. Tweens, 8 to 12 year olds, spend approximately 4 hours and 44 minutes a day on screens. Are you pursuing friendship with the world? 2 Peter 2:11. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which war against your soul. Who are we becoming, church, if so much of our time is being spent in front of screens? Consider the effects of uninhibited use of social media. Fewer teens desire to drive. Some of you are thinking like, well, that's not such a bad thing. It is a bad thing. It's tough for them to grow up. Here's why. Their social world is in the palm of their hands. Adolescence is longer, especially for young men. Loss of work ethic, drive, and motivation. Loss of personal connection. Which basically I would say, hey, they're losing real face-to-face time fellowship. We were created for it by design. We're losing it. Focus and attention issues are on the rise. Mental health issues are on the rise, especially in teenage girls. Have you heard of FOMO? Fear of missing out. It's real. I see it every retreat, every summer camp when I take your kids' phones away. You should see them. Maybe I'll start videoing it. No, I'm kidding. That's rude. It's real. It's a real thing. They get super anxious when you're like, hey, we're going to take your phone and we're not telling you when you're getting it back. Really? But I need it to go to bed. No, you don't. You need to go to bed. But it's real. And we've got to take this seriously for our younger brothers and sisters. Eating disorders are on the rise. Body dysmorphia is on the rise. Our worldly passions are constantly being stirred as we stare into our screens, scrolling hour after hour, clicking on notification after notification, looking at post after post, curating pictures, sometimes for hours, to post for others to like us, playing online hour after hour, watching show after show. We have far more information at our fingertips than any generation in history. And yet, research shows we are bored. Our lives are far less happy, far less joyful. We are far more distracted. We have far less time for the people we love. And our youth are far more insecure and unprepared for real life. We live too much for instant gratification. We don't like discomfort, unease, or difficulty. We have created safe spaces for when things get too uncomfortable, replaced fellowship with eternal souls with connection on screens. We've replaced hard work for vicariously living through online worlds. We can falsely be whomever we want to be. These are just a few of the ways our hearts are pursuing lesser lovers. Everything I've been saying is sounding the alarm. Our use and idolatry of technology is deepening our friendship with the world and separating us from the Almighty Father who created us and for the people around us. Yet there's a massive hidden truth about our technology and social media. Our technology and social media is at war with our sinful hearts. Corporations have learned how to harness this for their benefit. They have spent billions of dollars studying, crafting, designing, and engineering their technology and social media to hook us and to keep us addicted. They are preying upon us. Listen to a quote from Cal Newport in his book, Digital Minimalism. We've been engaging in a lopsided arms race in which technologies encroaching on our autonomy were preying with increasing precision on deep-seated vulnerabilities in our brains. While we still naively believed that we were just fiddling with fun gifts handed down from the nerd gods. In Adam Alter's book, Irresistible, highly recommend you read this book. He interviewed a guy named Tristan Harris. Tristan Harris is actually in the documentary I just referred to, Social Dilemma, on Netflix. According to Tristan Harris, a design ethicist, the problem isn't that people lack willpower. It's that there are 1,000 people, 1,000 people on the other side of the screen whose job it is to break down the self-regulation you have. Sounds sinister, right? It is. It is, and that's why I'm trying to warn you that we need to wake up to this. If we were created to worship, to glorify God and enjoy Him forever, how are we to worship? How are we to pursue good, true, beautiful, virtuous lives? Church, we need to listen to the warning in James that he gave us and stand on God's truth. Verse 4 and 5, God will accept no rivals and zero compromise. Verse 6, God gives grace. Verse 7 and 10, we must submit to him in humility. We must submit everything to him. Our lives should look different. Our lives should be different. My folly, your folly, is that we have underemphasized the implications of living out our faith. This applies directly to our use of technology. Two things I feel like I need to share with you all, so to help us stand and take up our position and live your faith out. And then one thing, men, I feel compelled to say to sound the alarm for you. One, this is a heart issue. You need to examine your heart. You need to know what comes out of your heart when you go to these sites for hours, or play these games for hours, or watch these shows for hours. Examine how and why you use technology. Be honest. This is a tough work. We need to do this kind of work. It's hard. It's good. Is your use of technology stirring your heart for honorable or dishonorable things? And let's bring in God's word to provide clarity here. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Galatians 5:19 through 21. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Second, families. Moms and dads, single moms, single dads, grandparents. How are you using technology? Are you willing to do the work? How are you using it in your home? Are you pursuing friendship with the world? Parents, have you compromised too much in your home? How are you allowing technology and social media to be used by your children? Have you thought about your God-given role in discipling your kids, your grandkids, when it comes to technology? Again, let's bring in God's word to offer clarity. Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 7. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Parents, grandparents, are you teaching your children, Are you training them up in his way, in his wisdom? Are you living out his wise and virtuous way? They're watching. The world will train your children. Let me say that one more time. The world will train your children. It will pursue them and call to their sinful hearts. We must fight back. Okay, men, young men, dads, fathers, grandfathers, now don't run out. 1 Corinthians 16:13. Be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. Men, I need you to wake up. Protect your heart. Protect your family. Protect your wife. Provide, love, serve, play. Yes, play. Walk with other men. Do something tough and rugged. Get a hobby. Bring your kids into it. Do something. Take action. Humble yourself. Repent and kill sin. Follow Christ our King. I fall short here. I fall short in this. When I'm asking you, when I'm pressing you, when I'm yelling at you, some of you I'm punching in the face right now. I fall short here. But it doesn't mean I give up. I'm not better than you. I need his strength daily to die to myself and follow him. So what does this all mean? How then do we live to honor Christ our King in this area of life, the area of technology and social media, what we're doing with our time? How? Great question. And I think God's wisdom is right here for us in James, verses 7 through 10. Look at your word. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. So let's just stop right there. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. This is a military term. Submit. Like a soldier, we need to relinquish all of who we are in complete subjection to Christ our King. All of us. Everything we have. How we use technology and social media. Submit it to him. Check your screen time. I know that's on iPhones. You can check that. I ask the youth all the time, pull out your phone, check your screen time. They hate that moment when youth group. I can see what's going on, how much time they're using. And if you think those stats I gave you earlier were off base, you're like, well, not my kids. Yes, your kids. I've walked with a lot of them. I've seen their screen time. We as parents, grandparents, adults, young adults, need to model for the youth what it looks like to live life this way. Submit it all to him. Think of Romans 12, 1 through 2 on this. All. This means all of our heart, all of our technology and social media usage. It needs to be in complete submission to him. So here's some practical tips. A good thing to ask yourself, again, are you guarding your heart? Well, what does that mean? Check your screen time. Know where you're spending your time. So here's a personal example. Walking through this. Again, I've been getting hit by this for 2 weeks. I checked my screen time the other day. Found out I was on YouTube for 3 hours. Don't worry. My wife has my password. She can see what I'm doing. It's an open relationship. That's wisdom. There's a way for us to walk in wisdom. My wife has all my passwords. She should. So I set up restrictions on myself. Okay, no longer than an hour and a half on YouTube. We've all been there. Hey, I just want to learn how to fix my engine. Oh, I had no idea that this was for sale. And then you start going down this road and you look up and you're like, oh man, I gotta get out of here, right? I got stuff to do. My kids are asking to play. I'm like, hang on one more second. I'm watching a video. I mean, that's what it is. We've all caught ourselves here. Yeah, Jason's laughing. I mean, this is true. We need to watch our heart, maybe set restrictions. Another piece of wisdom in sharing my story is my wife has my passwords. She can get on my phone anytime she wants. That's good. That's a good thing. I have one TV in my house. I just lied. I have two TVs. Like, dang it. Like, as soon as I said that, I'm like, my wife's totally going to call me out on that. He's like, no, we actually have two. Okay, so let me correct myself there. The TV in the basement is disconnected. There's no cable box. The only thing they can do is play Nintendo Wii, and they have to come ask. Upstairs is the family TV. Technology should draw us together, not separate us. That's a conviction I have. I don't know where you are. There's a great book called Tech Wise Family by Andy Crouch. It's a good and beautiful view on technology. If you haven't read it, you should read it. If you're reading it, reread it. It's got great and practical tips on what we should do, what technology could be used for in a biblical way. It's fantastic. You should read it. Parents, know where your loved ones are spending their time on technology. Youth, I know right now you're like, oh, how dare you? Right? Why would you do this to me? Parents, guard them. Guard them. Last thing, make a plan. Sit down with your spouse or sit down with a friend. Make a plan. Without a plan, you plan to fail. Make a plan. What does it look like? Again, this is why this topic's frustrating. You're like, man, can you just give me some more do's and don'ts? Sorry, you need to walk with others or walk with yourself, submit it to God, make a plan. What does it look like to use technology and social media in your home? Moving on. Resist and draw near. Looking at the second part of 7 and 8. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. I love that promise. Are you resisting? Are you drawing near to God? Again, this kind of goes back to the plan issue. Are you really spending time in God's word? Are you making it a point? Draw near to God, he will draw near to you. Are you reading his word? One thing that I like to do is journal. I do. I love to journal. It's cheap therapy. I can write out my prayers. I'm much more focused when I pray. I would highly recommend that. If you've never tried it, believe me, it's tough at first. But you've got to make a plan, set time aside, journal, pray, read, go after God, draw near. We need to remember the gospel. We are bought with the holy blood of Jesus, our rescuer, Christ our King, and we need to take action to pursue him and follow him. Train your heart. This will take time. Replace lesser loves with greater loves, social loves. What do I mean by that? Do something active. Turn the TV off more. Turn your notifications off on your phone. Hit do not disturb for the entire day while you're at home. Put your phone away and do something. Fix something around the house. Play with your kids. Go for a walk. Read a good book. Do something. Replace lesser loves with better ones. Last, in verse 8, the second part, cleanse your hands, purify your hearts. Matthew 5:29. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell. Church, brothers and sisters, young to old, is something you're looking at, is some form of technology in your life, some social media account, is it drawing you into sin? We can obey Christ our King and get rid of it. We can actually obey this very easily. Is it causing you to sin? You need to consider, I need to get rid of it. Take those words to heart. Confess your sin. Again, think of Matthew 6:21. What do you treasure? Obey our King. If it's causing you to sin, tear it out. I pray that we would humble ourselves before the Lord and let Him exalt us. Far too often, we run to our phones and our screens, making a kingdom for ourselves. It's His kingdom and His glory and His will be done, not ours. Humble yourselves. Let Him exalt you. You have sinned. I have sinned. I'm no better than you. You are no better than me. Humble yourselves. Remember verse 6. God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Own your sin. Own your mistakes. Admit where you have been pursuing friendship with the world and humble yourself before Him. Repent. Ask for forgiveness. Confess to your spouse. Confess to a friend. Repent. In church, we need to remember Christ our King. Verse 10. Our King did this perfectly for us. He humbled Himself for us that we might be justified by faith, by His grace. He perfectly lived out, verse 10. Jesus took our sin of spiritual adultery and died for us. In our place, and God Almighty has rightly exalted Him, Jesus over all things. Christ our King deserves our complete submission to Him and His authority over our lives. Let me close in prayer. Father, I thank You for this time. God, I thank You for Your words to us. God, Your warning to us. Are we pursuing friendship with the world? Do we call ourselves Christian? And yet, do we spend hours pursuing the world through a screen? God, You have made us in Your image, male and female, to bring You glory and honor, to be Your ambassadors, as Ryan said earlier. God, what a glorious purpose. God, help us. Help us submit everything. Help us cry out to You. God, we need You. Help us humble ourselves and walk with You.